Thank you for listening to the Beginner Institute podcast. Please join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beginner Institute, or you can join our email list at http://beginner.com and share these recordings with your family and friends.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ومن يرغب عن ملة إبراهيم إلا من سفه نفسه ولقد اصطفيناه في الدنيا وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ثم ما بعد. We're continuing our discussions on Surah Al-Baqarah. We've reached ayah number 130. This ayah appears right after the ayah in which Allah mentions his fulfillment of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where he sent his final messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even though Ibrahim alayhi salam was not explicitly mentioned in the previous ayah, we all know that the dua was made previously already. And this was actually the dua. So now Allah says, this is the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he makes a really emphatic call for us to be committed to that legacy. And he says, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Who would turn away from the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Who would incline away from it? The Arabic word رَغِبَ comes with two prepositions. It can come with رَغِبَ إِلَى or رَغِبَ عَنْ. When you're inclined to something, would you really like to do something? Then it comes with إِلَى, the preposition إِلَى, to be inclined to it. رَغِبَ عَنْ, the preposition عَنْ implies when you're disgusted by something, you want to get away from something, you're turned away from it. So here the عَنْ implies what kind of person would turn away from the مِلَّة. مِلَّة implies nation, but also means legacy. So the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ, except for the one who's fooling himself. Except for the person who's fooling himself. Now it's interesting, this is the second time foolishness is being mentioned in the surah. And it's going to come a third time too. The first time we came into contact with this term was when the hypocrites were talking about the believers who have made hijrah from Mecca. And they've left everything behind. And they were called fools. And now the one who doesn't abide by the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah is calling him a fool. And interestingly, there is a parallel between these two things, because Ibrahim alayhi salam, if you study his legacy, you find something very interesting and very, very peculiar. Ibrahim alayhi salam is, you know, they call him the father of the three religions, and that's this kind of interfaith terminology is used. All three religions, you know, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism have high regard for Ibrahim alayhi salam. But in agnostic circles and in circles that basically make fun of religion, one of the most entertaining points for them is the life of Abraham. Like, that's the point of ridicule in their circles. And I'm glad that you don't know much about those circles, but I happen to. And the reason they make fun of them is they say, what kind of God makes a man, you know, try to sacrifice his own kid? And what kind of God makes a man jump into the fire? And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they look at all the things that Ibrahim alayhi salam did that when we look at them, we say, that's incredible. We take, you know, we admire the commitment of Ibrahim alayhi salam, how he submitted before Allah. Those are the very things the outsider looks at and says, what kind of foolishness is this? What kind of religion would make a person do that? You really want to follow that kind of religion? And now Allah is giving us our attitude, the wiring of our attitude. He says, who would turn away from this legacy except an idiot? You're calling this stupid? No, actually. Who would turn away from this legacy? إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِيهَ نَفْسَهُ, except the one who's fooling himself. Truly fooling himself, subhanAllah. How the way we think is changed. And you know, the other thing, I've had my share of conversations with like agnosts and so-called atheists and things, positive and negative atheists, they call them. Positive atheists are agnosts, or actually actual atheists. Negative atheists are, I'm not sure if I'm atheist either. Maybe there's a God, maybe there isn't a God. The other word for that is agnost, right? So in my conversation with them, they say about Ibrahim alayhi salam, they say, well, he was commanded to slaughter his kid. So what, are you guys going to do that too? Because he did it, and you want to be like him. And that's, you know, an average Muslim, if they don't know how they make these kinds of arguments to try to catch you, you might not see what they're trying to do. Look, when Allah gives instructions directly to a messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever he may have been, those are particular instructions for him. And unless that messenger leaves you with instructions to do the same, or in his lifetime he makes sure that you imitated what he was doing, then those instructions don't apply to you. They're for him specifically. They're for him especially. So in the case of our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there are instructions that are very particular to him. And then in the Quran also, there are instructions that are very particular to him. And then there are instructions that apply to everybody else. For example, Qiyamul Layl, the standing in the middle of the night, which is an option for us, was made mandatory upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The ayat of ahkam came on the messenger in Surah Muzammil, Surah Al-Mudathir. You find those ayat in which he had to make qiyam. But that he made it an option upon us. And at the end of the surah, Allah even, you know, relaxed the obligation upon us, but not on his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the same thing is the case with Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's being tested with something the rest of us aren't being tested with. It's something special that Ibrahim alayhi salam was given. Anyhow, illa man safiya nafsahu, except for the one who's fooling himself. وَلَقَدْ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. And we, Allah says himself, we had already, and for sure it is we who had chosen him, we had chosen him. And the word istifa is also important here, because there are several words in Arabic used for making a choice. In the Quran we find ijtiba, we find ikhtiyar, we find istifa, we find different words for making a choice. The word istifa specifically highlights when a choice is made based on two things. One, purity. One, it's made on, based on purity. In other words, when you have a bunch of options in front of you and you choose the purest of those options, the thing that has the purest ingredients, that would be called istifa, because it comes from safu, which in itself means purity. But the other implication of istifa linguistically is also very powerful. And that is when a choice is made that is entirely your own and has no external influences. Meaning it's a choice in which you didn't take suggestions from anyone, you didn't consider anything, except the only reason you picked it is because it's your choice. I know I've talked about this in other durus when I've given dars on Surah Al-Hajj, but just to make that point clear to you, if you go to the store over here, the bookstore, they sell candy too, right? So you see a bunch of candies there and you pick up like a Twix. And your wife says, why didn't you get the M&M? Or the Snickers, or this or that? You like, why'd you get Twix? Well, what's your reason? I like it, that's it, it's my choice. That's it. There's no other factor involved, that would be istifa. That would be istifa, right? If you get the M&M because you figure it's the most for my money, I can share it, give it to the kids, it'll last longer, etc. Now there's ijtiba involved. There's other factors that you tried to reason and you made a decision based on some other qualifications. But istifa is a choice purely your own. Now the word is important because this surah, and as it's going to come also, the qibla will be changed by Allah Azza wa Jal. Whose decision is that? It's purely His. And Bani Israel is listening right now, and they believe in the choosing of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they acknowledge that that choice was made purely by Allah Azza wa Jal. But they're having a hard time accept that the final messenger was also chosen purely by Allah. So the word of pure choice referring to Allah is highlighting a point about how messengers are chosen. You can't come up with a formula and say, ah, that's why he was chosen. No, no, no. It's Allah's purely His choice. The only two things we know is He chooses the purest option. And second, purely it's His choice. You can't involve your logic and reasoning into it. You can't apply any of that into it. And this we find in two other places, or other places in Quran. For example, the Quraysh raised the criticism, how come no celebrity from the town? You know, رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. How come this Qur'an didn't come on one of the two great celebrities, or celebrities from two of the great towns? You know, the bigger families and the higher ups, if it came on them and they became a messenger, well, they're already millionaires, so we're ready to listen to them anyway, it would be easier. Why would we listen to this guy who's an orphan? And he's not really that high up in the ranks, politically speaking and economically speaking, so why should we listen to him? I mean, there were so many better choices available, that criticism they made. Bani Israel made the criticism, well, how come this messenger? What, there was a shortage among us? We're the chosen people. And how come Jibreel? We don't really like him that much. Remember that conversation before? So the word istifa here highlights, going back to the common point, and that's important too, that Ibrahim alayhi salam is the common thread between Bani Israel and Bani Ismail. He's the common link between them. And so when he builds the house of Allah, which is going to come, when he builds that house, and he was making that dua as he was building the foundations of the house, Bani Israel is being told, well, that house is also part of your legacy. It's not like you're abandoning your legacy to come to this one. Al-Masjid al-Aqsa is part of your legacy, yes. But even before Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, this is part of your legacy because this was built by Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, it was the house of worship established by the one that even goes further back in your own lineage. So anyhow, وَلَقَدِ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And certainly in the afterlife, he is among the righteous. He will be among the righteous. May Allah make this from them. Make us all from them. And here again, a clue. You better become of the righteous if you want to consider yourself part of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because they claim that. Both Jews and Christians claimed that they are a part of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah says, well, you want to be with him in the akhirah. The only people he'll stand with are the righteous. If قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. And so Allah is dropping a clue about Islam itself. Whenever his master said to him, submit, be Muslim is aslim. Actually, after Islam, the verb itself became the meaning of he became a Muslim. So when you say about somebody, aslama, you know, aslama means he became Muslim. It doesn't even mean he submitted anymore. It just means he became Muslim. And that's how it's even used in a hadith of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyhow, whenever Allah says to him, submit, qala aslamtu li rabbil alameen. He says, and there's no harf ataf here. Like, if qala lahu rabbuhu aslim fa thumma. There's no ataf here. Qala aslamtu li rabbil alameen. He said, I give myself up. I've submitted myself before the Lord, before the Master of the world. Now, there's something subtle and beautiful about this language. So I'll stop here before, because the next ayah is pretty deep also. But just share some highlights with you. The first thing is, he said aslamtu. He used the past tense. He doesn't say uslimu. I submit. Meaning I submit in Arabic, the present tense has the implication of meaning the present and the future. That might imply procrastination. I'll submit, yes. There may be lag. Aslamtu, there's no lag. It's immediate because it's already happened. It's as good as already done. So you know how when you have a really eager employee and you say to them, make sure you send that email. And they say, even before they do it, they're right about it. They say, done. Done. Like, you know, it's finished. It's this immediate response by Ibrahim alayhi salam. Aslamtu li rabbil alameen. And he acknowledges when he submits, he acknowledges his reasons for submitting too. He could have said aslamtu laka, aslamtu lillahi. But he makes sure he reminds himself, and through that reminder he's reminding us, li rabbil alameen, to the master. I submit myself to the master. He's reminding himself of his slavery and Allah's mastery. The master of al-alameen, all nations and all peoples. And even in the word al-alameen, there's something beautiful. Because inside al-alameen is all nations. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, as far as the context of Arabia is concerned, the different nations, different religions that are in Arabia, they somehow all trace themselves back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So they may look like different nations at that time. There's Christians, there's Jews, there's the Mushrikun. But actually all three of them somehow trace themselves back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says, "Aslamtu li rabbil alameen." You know, he's calling. It's like there's a call being made in the statement of Ibrahim alayhi salam. How Allah quotes it to this unified origin, which is again the house of Allah azza wa jal that was built. I'll at least mention the next ayah and I'll close. I won't explain it much. Wa wasa biha Ibrahimu banihi wa Yaqub. And Ibrahim alayhi salam left a legacy, left a will, you could even say, for his sons. As did Yaqub, wa Yaqub, and Yaqub did the same. How much time between Ibrahim alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam? Who's in between? There's Ibrahim alayhi salam, then there's his son, Ishaq alayhi salam, and then there is Yaqub alayhi salam. So Allah is talking about the grandfather and the grandson. Now if you look at the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah said, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً. From our children, at least give us a Muslim ummah. So in the next ayah, Allah is saying, actually, I've also fulfilled the dua, not only with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also in the next generation of Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam, Yaqub alayhi wa sallam also fulfilled that legacy and traced himself back to exactly the words that his grandfather once said to his children. The grandson is saying those same words to his children. So it's something you're supposed to pass down to your children. And that would be part of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam. You know, the previous ayah said, who would turn away from his legacy except a fool? Well, Yaqub alayhi salam held on to that legacy, and one of the ways in which he held on to that legacy is giving his sons the same exact advice that his father once gave to his sons. Now what's that advice? Ya baniya inna Allah astafa lakumud deena. My sons, my beloved sons, Allah, no doubt about it is He who has chosen this deen for you. Once again, istifa. I won't explain what that means again. He has chosen that deen for you. Now there's istafa alaykum and istafa lakum. When it's something is a burden on you, alaykum is used. When something is a favor to you, lakum is used. Istafa lakum ad-deen. This religion has been chosen for you, the deen has been chosen for you, as a favor to you, as a gift for you. Lakumud deen. It's amazing that these prepositions, how they're used in Quran. Like in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah says, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Tell them, nothing will afflict us except what Allah has written, not upon us, but for us. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا, not عَلَيْنَا. عَلَيْنَا would mean we're going to come, you know, this was the Munafiqun talking about Muslims getting in trouble on the battlefield in Hunayn. Right? Muslims got in trouble in the battlefield in Hunayn. Allah told them to say, no, Allah, nothing will afflict us except what Allah has written for us, not against us, for us. Even in the toughest times, whatever we're going through, we know Allah has something good in it for us. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. What beautiful verbiage, you know? So now here we find, you know, لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Don't you dare die except that you're Muslims. Don't you dare die except that you're Muslims. Now listen to this. Who are the sons of Ya'qub a.s.? We know who the sons of Ibrahim a.s. are. Who are the sons of Ya'qub a.s.? Who does that include? Yusuf a.s. Includes Yusuf a.s. Now you tell me. He gave this advice to his sons. And this is, by some scholars, this is towards the end of his life. Because he's leaving a will, so it implies this is towards the tail end of his life. We know that Yusuf a.s. had brothers who did some pretty messed up things. It's not like they, like I give the example often, it's not like they, you know, they took the rear view mirror broken from the dad's car and brought it back and said, Dad, sorry, I took your car for a spin, and, you know, and he says, Sabrun Jameel. That's not what happened. They took a shirt, you know, riddled with false blood, and they took it to their father. And they forgot to rip it up too, so it, you could tell that's not how animals eat. They don't take the shirt off and then eat. And then, you know, so he knew they were lying about it too. So they did some pretty messed up stuff. The reason I'm bringing this up is that we're learning through this dua and this instruction. On the one hand, there's dua. Ibrahim alayhi salam already made dua, take care of my children. But that's not enough. He has to tell his kids to stay straight too. Don't you dare die except that you're Muslims. Remain in submission. He has to take care of both things. Dua alone is not enough. You have to do that, your part too. Then the dua has power. Then Allah gives barakah in that dua. The other thing here is, whose kids are these? We said Yaqub alayhi salam. Whose son is he? Who's Yaqub alayhi salam the son of? Ishaq alayhi salam. And he's the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So these guys, these brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, illa bin Yameen, except for bin Yameen, these are sons of a prophet, grandsons of a prophet, great grandsons of a prophet. And yet they still messed up pretty bad. You could say they come from a pretty good family. You could say that they come from a pretty decent family. You know, a lot of times nowadays when you try to give warnings about youth going astray, people say, no, 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 not my kids. We come from a good family. Now my kids, we have a, mashallah, our grandfather was a scholar and his father was a muhaddith and his scholar was the head of the tafsir department of our madrasa. And you know, our five generations of hafaz, we're solid. I mean, righteousness runs in our blood. It's genetic for us. You know, we don't have those problems. You must be talking about that guy's kids. My kids, no, we come from a good family. Our last name is Muhammad or Ahmad or Qurayshi or Chaudhry or something. Therefore, our children are incapable of messing up. Let me guarantee you guys something. None of us come from a purer family than the sons of Yaqub alayhi salam. Nobody does here. Nobody has that kind of lineage. Sons of a prophet, grandsons of a prophet, great-grandsons of a prophet, and brothers with a prophet too. Right? I mean, they're just one after another. They're coming from this pure lineage. But genetics aren't enough to keep you righteous. It doesn't run in the blood. It's not necessarily the case. You know, the mushrikun of Makkah are also children of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The followers of Musa alayhi salam are also the children of Yaqub alayhi salam. And the hypocrites among them are also followers of Yaqub alayhi salam. You know? There's no guarantees. So we can't recline on our heritage and say that our children are going to be okay. That can't be the case. And the final quick reminder I want to give you through these ayat, this parenting issue, how much Allah has emphasized worrying about the future generation in these ayat. It's a really interesting transition in Baqarah. And you're about to see more of it. On the one hand, there is you worrying about the future. And also not being a fool and not worry about the future. That's what, on the one hand, that's what we're learning. On the other hand, you know what we're going to start learning now? There are people who look at their past and they take pride in their past, even if their past was wrong. And they don't want to change their ways because they say, our past is like this, that's our tradition, we're not going to budge. We take pride in who we are, right? So there's people who, there's two kinds of foolish behavior. There's one, you're not worried about your future, and two, you're reclining on your past, whether it was good or not. And we'll see both those kinds of mistakes, you know, outlined in these ayat. Did Yusuf alayhi salam, you have to ask yourself this final question, was Yaqub alayhi salam a good parent? Absolutely. Actually, in the Quran, if you study Yaqub alayhi salam, you'll find, if you're looking for model parenting in the Quran, there are very few passages that talk about good fathers, and Yaqub alayhi salam somehow ends up in them. You know, you have Luqman radiallahu anhu and his advice to his son, but you have Yaqub alayhi salam several times talking about his children, especially in Surah Yusuf here in Baqarah. So he's a model parent. Of course, he's a prophet, so he's a model in that sense too. And even worrying about his kids, Allah mentions him making dua, so he's clearly a model parent. But his son still messed up. What are we learning here? You can do your best with your children, and you have to. You don't have a choice. You have to do your best with your children. But in the end, they will make the decisions that they will make once they become adults. And once they become adults, and they make the dumb decisions that they might make, because they are adults, you yelling and screaming will not make things better and turn them righteous all of a sudden. At that point, you need to take Yaqub alayhi salam's advice and say what? فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ. That's all he can do. I mean, I was expecting him to yell and scream when he brings back the shirt, but he knows these guys are at an age where yelling at them and going crazy at them is not going to work. That's their ship is sailed. I did what I could with them. But, you know, the rest I have to leave to Allah. So he reminds them. He gives them warning. He reminds them of Allah. Allahul Musta'an, alama tasifun. And he gives them his example. I'm going to have sabr. But he can't do much more. And that sabr and that dua, the sincere dua to Allah, years go by, but eventually those bad corrupt sons do make tawbah. They do come around. So those of you that are having trouble with your older kids, and you say, I've been making dua, nothing's happened. Right? Well, it takes a while. It takes a while. You have to have a lot of sabr. Now these are important lessons for parenting that Allah has embedded in these beautiful ayat. Inshallah, we'll talk more about this next ayah, this ayah itself, in our next gathering. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.